You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Wednesday. We got breaking news. Have that for you here in a moment. Welcome to the program. It's Hour 1, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated will recap Nets versus the Bucks. And boy, was I mad last night. I was actually yelling at the TV during that game. Hawks 76ers Game 5 tonight. Clippers Jazz Game 5. 877-3DP Show email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners. The Phoenix Suns, according to The Athletic, will probably not have Chris Paul anytime soon. They don't have any games to play right now, but he has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols. He's sidelined for an indefinite period of time, according to The Athletic. His status is up in the air for the start of the Western Conference Finals, according to sources. Chris Paul's Suns will face the winner of the Jazz-Clippers series. That's tied at two games apiece. The NBA has yet to release the conference finals schedule, but if a game seven is needed, Jazz-Clippers, that'll be played on Sunday. So Tuesday would be game one, it looks like, for the conference finals. No other word on this. Depending on the medical circumstance, an isolation period could be shorter for a vaccinated individual. So that's the breaking news that I have this morning. And COVID is still grabbing players. John Rahm cost him a victory at the Memorial. Justin Turner, the Dodgers third baseman during the World Series. It's still there. It's still lingering. And this may have an effect on the Phoenix Suns, at least when they start the conference finals next week. All right. I said yesterday, this is where Kevin Durant needs to prove that he's the best player in basketball. You need to have one of those games. He had one of those games and then some. He was spectacular. Marvelous. Did everything that you want. Big time player, a guy who hadn't played much the last 2 years, coming off the worst injury you can possibly have as an athlete. And he was great down the stretch. And there hasn't really been a lot to knock about Kevin Durant through his career. I know at one point the criticism was he needed to join a super team to win a championship, which, yes, he joined the Warriors to win a title. But now he's on his own, even though he was joining a super team or creating a super team in Brooklyn. Last night, felt like he was all alone. James Harden was out there in name only. You got Kyrie Irving, who's still in street clothes. But last night, Durant played the entire game. And it's one of those where he put the team on his back. Milwaukee was leading at halftime, leading comfortably at halftime, and it looked like they're going to go home and wrap this series up. And then Durant took over. James Harden found a way to play despite that injured hamstring. I don't think he was helping the team that much. If you want to say he's a decoy, but he wasn't shooting well and he couldn't guard anybody. We'll get to that in a moment. But this is one of those playoff appearances, performances we'll remember for a long time. But we remember these when you win. That's the most important part to remember with all of this. The series isn't over. Nets still have issues. To make history, you win these series. You move on. I always bring up Julio Jones had one of the great catches, clutch catches in Super Bowl history. And you're probably going, he did? He did. On what should have been the game-winning drive for the Falcons. They screwed it up with their play calling, but Julio Jones had an unbelievable catch in crunch time. And that could have set up the game-winning field goal, and they would have beaten the Patriots. Now it's up to the Nets, to whatever they can do in Milwaukee, and you're not going to have Kyrie. James Harden played 46 minutes. Kevin Durant played 48 minutes. But this is really on the Milwaukee Bucks right now, because I'm watching and I kept wondering, are you going to send a second player towards Kevin Durant? There's only one guy on the floor who can beat you. And you know it. You can see it. Yes, is he wonderful? Yes, as a 7-footer, he can get a shot over anybody. Yes, he can beat you off the dribble. I understand all of those things. Send a second player towards him. Make him pick up the dribble. If somebody else is going to beat you, other than Kevin Durant, I'll live with that. I can never understand this, that the best player gets the ball. You may get the ball. I want you to give up the ball. James Harden couldn't guard anybody. Did they take advantage of that? No. Crunch time, the Greek freak, you can't be fading away when James Harden is guarding you. He fumbles the ball. He could have had a putback, a dunk that would have tied the game, missed another clutch free throw. Now, you can look at his numbers and say he played well. I want to know what you do when the game's on the line. There's a lot of guys who are great for the first three quarters. What do you do when you need to do it and everybody knows you need to do it? And that's what was frustrating last night. Now, full disclosure, I made predictions prior to the start of the playoffs, and I predicted Milwaukee would go to the NBA Finals. And they should. But you have no excuses. None. You're healthy. I mean, you don't have to worry about the Lakers if you get there. I mean, this is a golden opportunity. Here's Steve Nash, the Nets head coach, on what he saw last night from Kevin Durant.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. Got to the line. 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, 49 points. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's able to do. We know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded, and for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin, and it was beautiful to watch.
And you also had Jeff Green, who had 27 off the bench. He had 7 three-pointers. Now, do you expect that from Jeff Green? No. Can I live with Jeff Green scoring 27 if it means I take away some of the opportunities, the touches from Kevin Durant? Yes. I can't let the best player on the floor, arguably the best player on the planet, have the ball. And you only have a single defender. And I know after the game, the Greek freak said, hey, let me guard him. Aren't you the reigning defensive player of the year? Maybe you don't like that matchup on the perimeter, but can I at least have the Greek freak show? Can he at least go out? Can we at least give the impression we're doubling him? Make him pick up his dribble. James Harden couldn't shoot. I give him credit, and he was out there trying to help his team. Was he out there longer than he should have been? Yes. Did the Bucks take advantage of this? Absolutely not. Jrue Holiday, Bucks mortgaged the future to get you. You guys have no excuses. None. You're healthy. They're not. And you let Kevin Durant have one of the great performances. And I do say part of that is you let him, because P.J. Tucker, if they're not going to let you be physical in New Jersey or in Brooklyn, okay. Now what's the other strategy? How about you stay physical with him? If you foul out, okay. Frustrate him. Get physical. But as much as we lauded P.J. Tucker in the previous game, man, he's frustrating K.D. K.D. did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. And to me, that comes down to coaching with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I've had questions about that coaching, Mike Budenholzer, the entire series. You guys should win this. Even if it's Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I thought Milwaukee was the better all-around team here. We'll talk to Mannix about this coming up. Here is the Greek freak talking about Kevin Durant.
Obviously, one of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like, he's the best. He's the best player in the world right now. And we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. We just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss.
Hey, so now you know it in the post-game press conference? How about you knew it like an hour and a half earlier when you're playing against him? We gotta guard him as a team. Yes. Yeah, McLeod.
But Giannis isn't the coach. I mean, he doesn't set the defensive assignments.
I know, but he should say to the coach, like, this happens where guys say, hey, I want to guard him. That happens. That happens all the time in basketball. Hey, I want him. Hey, let me guard him. At least give the impression, as a reigning defensive player of the year, that you can do something against Kevin Durant or give help. Every time I saw him drive, it was PJ Tucker and it was Brooke Lopez. That's not scaring Kevin Durant. Yeah, Paul.
Hey, guys, I'm just thinking for the next game, we really focus on this Durant guy.
Yeah.
Let's all get together. And you know, I know he hasn't played in a while, but don't be surprised if he shoots a lot.
Yeah, see.
It's kind of funny that there's all this talk about the Bucks and like, well, hey, the coach didn't do, like, the coach was, wasn't the coach supposed to make? And they're playing the team that's like, yeah, but that coach doesn't do anything. He's kind of a coach and like figurehead, but like, is he really going to tell Kevin Durant what to do? I don't think so.
He didn't have to tell him anything.
Right.
He didn't have to say a word. Yeah, not a word. Yes, McLovin.
What kind of lunatic says, I want to cover Kevin Durant, though? I'm sorry. Like, yeah, that, I say that in the postgame. I don't want to match up with Durant. He's impossible because he's 50 feet from the basket and open. I'm just saying, I understand. The other thing, too, if I told you the night before that Giannis was going to get 14 to 22, 2 for 4 from three, which is unbelievable.
Yes.
4 for 7 from the line.
Yeah.
And score 34 points.
Yeah.
You would have taken that.
Yes, I would.
But they couldn't stop the Nets. The Nets scored 100 points in a row. Nets. It's nothing to do with Giannis.
Well, some, because he takes a fadeaway on Harden.
Who fouled the heck out of him.
He doesn't want to shoot free throws. He misses a free throw in crunch time. And then with 20 seconds to go, he had the turnover. That's where I want to see greatness. I can look at the stat sheet. There are guys who don't do anything for three quarters. And then do something when they need to in the fourth quarter. That's what I want, too. And that's what's missing from Giannis.
But
he's a wonderful player. But in crunch time, he doesn't have a go-to move. He's nervous about getting to the free throw line. And, you know, that's hard. You can't rely on him. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, remember Shaq had all those things, and he could win titles because he had help. You know, he had Wade and Kobe.
Okay.
So somebody's got it. Like, Giannis is not going to be a final 2-minute player. He's like a center that can't shoot free throws. So Middleton has to be that guy.
Okay. Well, then we'll give the Greek Freak Kobe, and then he'll be able to win. Kobe in his prime, and then he gets to move on to the next
round.
Who
wouldn't want Kobe Bryant as your sidekick?
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis is not.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, you knew it. You didn't think Giannis was going to win that game in the last 2 minutes. He can't shoot free throws.
No, I did not. I did not think that they were going to win. Chris Middleton's an all-star, right? Drew Holiday, they gave up all their draft picks for him, right? Aren't these guys supposed to be good? And you're healthy. And you're playing a team that has one star player. That's it. You got to worry about him. If Danny Green goes off, okay. They knew Harden had no lift. He had no mobility. He shouldn't have been out there. But I give him credit because he did go out there and at least try. And I think he had 8 assists. But he had like 5 turnovers and, you know, he made one shot. But he at least tried. But he's not a decoy anymore. Like, if I'm Milwaukee, I don't go, man, we're that James Harden, we got to keep an eye on him. They knew that if you one guy could cover him. Because he had no mobility whatsoever. Yes, Todd.
Does Giannis lack the leadership ability to demand during the game that they do something more to guard Durant as opposed to what could be perceived as passive aggressive to say after the fact of the postgame conference that we need to guard him as a team instead of addressing it during the game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the Greek Freak. I don't know how to answer that because I don't know him. I don't know what his personality is or if he's ever said to the coach, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. No, this is my team. I have no idea. Yeah, Seton.
I like that there's one dude on the Bucks now who's like, yeah, shut down James Harden in a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
You see those numbers for Harden? Yeah, shut him down.
Shut him down.
All right, phone calls are welcome. Chris Mannix will join us coming up. We'll talk about what happened last night. And then you got a couple of game fives tonight as well. We'll see if he's all in on the Clippers. McLovin will have a poll question as well. We'll take a break. By the way, this program brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. The best home security you will find, simplysafedan.com. They're there for you. Award-winning security. Customize your system and get a free security camera. Take a break. 15 after the hour, back after this. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. Pretty amazing, right? In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question forthcoming. Busy morning if you're just joining us. Chris Paul has entered the NBA health and safety protocols. He's sidelined for an indefinite period of time. Sources tell The Athletic. So his status is up in the air for the start of the Western Conference Finals. According to sources, the Suns waiting for the winner of the Jazz Clippers series, which is tied at two games apiece. And now this news with the Clippers. Brian Windhorst of the Mothership, along with Ramona Shelburne, reporting Kawhi Leonard expected to miss Game 5 against the Jazz tonight with a knee injury. His status for the rest of the series is in doubt as well. Now, he's had issues with that knee for quite some time, but don't know if there was a separate incident, an isolated incident, where he re-aggravated that knee, but we saw that that news, and I there was a play where he's guarded by Ingles, and it felt like, or looked like, he came down on it in an awkward way driving to the hoop. I don't know if that's related to it, but it could be. Yes, Eden.
How confident are you in Paul George putting up a Kevin Durant-like performance? Mm.
Well, he could be playoff P if he does that. That's for sure. So that's the NBA news right now, and we're 23 minutes into the show, but that's big news. Big news going into Game 5, and Utah needs a little lift here. I don't know if Mike Conley comes back, but with no Kawhi Leonard, somebody's going to have to step up. And Chris Paul, we don't know the extent of that, but we'll certainly keep an eye on that and update you on whatever we find out. I did talk to Chris Mannix, the senior NBA writer from Sports Illustrated. I talked to him prior to the start of the show and recorded an interview with him. So we don't address what just happened with Kawhi or Chris Paul, but I started out asking him about some of the coaching decisions made last night by the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Chris Mannix.
No, you're right. This was, I think, unequivocally one of the worst losses in Bucks franchise history when you factor in the stakes and the team they were playing against and the fact that at halftime they had a 16-point lead. Now, Mike Budenholzer has many critics out there. There are have been many that have suggested he should have been replaced after last season and the way they played in the bubble. So if you were a critic of Mike Budenholzer, it was a feeding frenzy last night. I mean, to not attack James Harden on every possession. I mean, you could see him walking out there, Dan. There was a noticeable limp in his step. He was not going to be able to stay in front. His defensive philosophy in this game was to back up as much as he could and force guys like Jrue Holiday to take mid-range jump shots. To not attack him was just bizarre. And on the other end of the floor, like, to not take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands, it's not a you know, genius coaching philosophy to do that, like to play like that. You saw a couple of days ago, the LA Clippers made a decision to send double teams at Donovan Mitchell and take the ball out of his hand. Going back even further, when James Harden was a Houston Rocket, we saw defenses load up on him, force the ball out of his hands, or force him into extremely difficult shots. The Bucks' philosophy seemed to be like, let PJ Tucker defend him or to foul him. And there were, I don't know how many possessions Giannis guarded him, but this is one of the top defensive players in the NBA, allegedly. Why wasn't he getting more turns on Kevin Durant? I mean, I wasn't quite yelling at the TV. I was verbally yelling through Twitter. But I had the same thought process that the coaching decisions made by Mike Budenholzer were just shocking.
And then there was another one where Giannis didn't want to take it to the hoop late. He was guarded by James Harden, and he shot a fadeaway on James Harden. He didn't want to take it to the hoop, possibly get fouled and go to the free throw line.
That goes in the Giannis Hall of Shame, if you will. I mean, a couple things on this, Dan. Like, Giannis is a two-time MVP. He is a great offensive player. Did the Nets send one double team at him during the course of that game? I saw one situation that it was actually the situation where Giannis faded away, where the Nets started to double team, and then Harden waved off the defender. You've got James Harden, who on his best day is probably an average defender, and he was not on his best day in this one, is waving off a double team. So against a two-time MVP who's got like 6 inches and 50 pounds on him, he could defend him one-on-one. And Harden and Giannis's response is to fade away in that situation. The decision-making by Giannis was just wild. I mean, when he had Harden at the top of the key, he should have gone at him. I think he got gun-shy towards the end of the game about drawing offensive fouls. When he had Harden in the low post, you have to attack him, bully him, get to the rim, and yes, get to the free throw line if that's what it comes down to. And then at the very end, to drop a pass in your breadbasket that could have given the opportunity to tie the game. I mean, this was one of the worst games we've seen Giannis play in his career.
I just wonder how they respond going back home in game six, because it's going to be one or the other. It's going to be, we got resolve, we got backbone, there's going to be a game seven, or it's going to be, you know, our heads are hanging low here. What do you expect in game six in this series?
Well, they play a lot better at home, and they always have historically during the Giannis era. So I expect them to come out with some energy. The question is, can they build a big enough lead so that in the fourth quarter, they're not just going mano a mano with Kevin Durant, which is not going to work for them in that particular situation. But in a way, Dan, I look at this game six for Giannis in kind of the same way I look at game six of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals for LeBron James. Not putting LeBron and Giannis in the same company, but up until that point, LeBron had not won a championship. He had been to two finals. The Celtics were his nemesis. And going into game six, LeBron and the Miami Super Friends were down 3-2. LeBron came out in game six, had one of the best games of his career up until that point to beat Boston on the Celtics' home floor. This is a different type of situation, but I kind of see it through that same lens where Giannis, this is his moment. This is his chance to either show he's one of the best players in the game or to prove the critics of him right that he can't be a number one on a championship team.
And if Milwaukee doesn't get out of this round, there's going to be changes there.
Well, the only change you can make, though, is Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
And I would firmly believe that would be the case. I mean, they're locked in on this roster. They made that holiday deal at last offseason, and that cost them most of their draft capital moving forward. They signed Holiday to a max contract. It's Giannis, Holiday, Middleton. You know, Dante DiVincenzo being out certainly hurts them, but we can't put this series on that. The Nets have far more substantial injuries that they're dealing with. But this is it. Like, this is their group. I mean, the Bucks are lucky that they've got Giannis signed to that long-term extension, but I would not expect Mike Budenholzer to survive a second-round defeat.
Yeah, crazy. We're talking to Chris Mannix, the Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Hawks 76ers tonight, game five. What do you expect?
You know, I like Philadelphia in this one. I mean, Joel Embiid was brutally bad in the second half of game four, 0-for-12, missed that bunny. And clearly, Dan, you can tell that knee is bothering him. Like, you watch that last play, that last Philadelphia possession, excellent play call by Doc Rivers, excellent execution by almost everybody, and then Embiid gets it. And because he can't explode off that knee, he just muffs a layup at the very end that winds up costing them the game. I do expect being back at home is going to give Philadelphia a bounce. Ben Simmons did not play well in that game four. Embiid, of course, I think will play a little bit better on his home floor as well. And I thought the Sixers' perimeter defense overall was pretty good against Atlanta. So I think Philadelphia wins this game six. But man, that game four, they blew a really big opportunity to potentially get Embiid 3 or 4 extra days rest going into a conference finals. That could wind up costing this team, if not this series, in subsequent series moving forward.
Are you all in on the Clippers now?
No. I'm not. I can't be. I can't. No. The Clippers, to me, they still look, when they flip a switch, and I hate using that phrase because it's such a cliche, but like they do. They flip a switch and they play great. They did it in games 3 and 4 against Dallas. They did it in games 3 and 4 against Utah. I just don't know what to expect from them in a game 5. Like, would it surprise me If Utah went out, Mike Conley came back and they won by, I don't know, 15 points. No, like the Clippers are just too wildly unpredictable. I mean, if you're telling me Paul George is going to play exactly like that in game five, sure. All in on the Clippers, but he's unpredictable. The front court, the small lineup, Marcus Morris is unpredictable. I think the Clippers did an unbelievable job of getting back into the series in those two games, but I'm still not buying the LA Clippers.
Thank you, Chris.
You got it, Dan.
That's Chris Mannix, the senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. Once again, speaking to him prior to the start of the show, and so he wasn't aware of what happened with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi doesn't look like he will play in tonight's Game 5 due to the knee injury. That's according to the mothership. And then you have the other news with Chris Paul in COVID protocol right now. And we don't know exactly the time frame for that. We don't have any other information. This was reported by The Athletic. But we'll keep an eye on both of those stories because that affects the Western Conference Finals. But we don't know if Kawhi is going to be available for Game 6. Right now, Game 5, big question mark. And the report is he might not be available for the rest of this series due to that knee. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, you got a poll question?
I actually already put one up your permission. Okay. Who do you blame for the Bucks' loss last night? Giannis's supporting cast, or Coach Mike Budenholzer? Runaway winner so far, coach.
Yeah. I just have to take, and look, I've only been watching the NBA for 50 years now. When I see the best player on the floor with the ball, with the game on the line, then I got to get the ball out of his hands, or at least try to get the ball out of his hands. I still go back to the Utah Jazz against the Chicago Bulls, and I was right there for it. And I thought, okay, are they going to double Michael? They're going to have Brian Russell guard him? They did. You don't even throw somebody at him. You don't even flash at him. Make Mike pick it up. Now, has John Paxson hit a big shot before? Has Steve Kerr? Yes. And that's who I would want to rely on in a situation like that, if I'm Utah. If Mike passes, that's a win. Now, the great players find a way to get shots. I understand that. But at some point last night, I have to make Durant pick up his dribble and pass the ball. But now you go into Game 6. Maybe you can rally and get a little momentum, and then now you got to take matters, you know, to New Jersey or Brooklyn and face the Nets there. But you should have won that game last time. Yeah, Paul.
And that's the position the Utah Jazz are in tonight. They got the Clippers at home with no Kawhi Leonard. This should be an easy dust off. They can't afford to let it go the other way. They shouldn't. You don't think they will, but if we're talking tomorrow and the Clippers somehow win this game, the Jazz will be like, what did they do? They had an opportunity. You don't have to see the Lakers. All you got to do is dust off the Clippers.
Well, if Paul George starts to go off, maybe you run a couple people towards him and then you make Morris beat you or whoever it's going to be. I can't let the best player beat me. He's going to sometimes, but I would rather take my chances with guys who normally don't take that shot, those shots. If Joe Harris beats me, that's okay. If a wounded James Harden beats me, that's okay. At some point, you realize something's happening with Kevin Durant. As many games as I've witnessed in person or watched, where you just get a sense it's somebody's night. And that's where, as a coach, you have to go, let's break up this rhythm here. Let's just, you know, hard foul something. We got to take him out of his comfort zone here. And they never did that with Durant last night. Yeah, McLovin.
If you're the Nets, do you even play James Harden in Game 6? And one of my reasons is, honestly, the weak calls on Giannis off the ball, they're not going to happen in Milwaukee. You're not going to get Giannis, three fouls on Giannis on charges. I don't see how the Nets win in Milwaukee.
Well, I was surprised that James Harden played as long as he did because I thought he was a detriment to his team. I wouldn't have had him out there for 46 minutes because I know what's happening with Durant, and maybe I just ride Durant as long as I can, even playing him all 48 minutes. I know they had to, but that was risky as well. James Harden, I thought you could have taken him out, and then I want to make sure he's better in game six. So then I don't have to rely on Kevin Durant as much. Has the point spread changed in the Jazz-Clippers polling?
Yes, the Jazz were favored by three. They were minus three. What do you think the Kawhi Leonard being out does to that line?
Seven.
Seven and a half. Mm. Kawhi Leonard's worth 4.5 points.
Yeah. 7.5. Yes, McLovin.
You know, Durant played 48 minutes. How is he going to have anything left in the tank for game six?
I know.
I feel like I want to bet on Milwaukee, but maybe, but that doesn't make sense either.
But he had to play 48 minutes.
Right, but can he have anything left for game six?
Well, we're going to find out. No, that's, I don't know. Like in normal situations, you'd go, guy's 32. Yeah, he should be able to bounce back. Given what he's gone through for almost 2 years, that's what makes the performance last night even more remarkable. He's coming off a torn Achilles. That's the worst injury you can have as a basketball player. And for him to be able to come back, and you would never know that. If you're watching that game and I said, pick out the guy who blew out his Achilles, you would not pick out Kevin Durant. But that's remarkable. And all credit to him for what he did last night. It's truly one of the more remarkable performances in NBA playoff history. It's not a surprise because it's Kevin Durant, but it's still a surprise because you go, he did what? He had how many rebounds? How many assists? How many points? Played how many minutes? And everybody knew. That's why I picked Steph Curry to be the MVP. Because everybody knew. Everybody knew who's going to shoot the ball with Golden State Warriors. And he led the league in scoring. And he was incredible. You know Kevin Durant's going to get the ball. And you know he's going to shoot. You can't go, God, that the seven-footer's doing, he's looks like he's pretty good tonight. It's got to be, I got to have everybody all hands on deck that we have to make sure that we have Durant pick up his dribble, frustrate him, give him the impression we're going to double-team him, make him go to his left. Like, whatever it is, I got to get you out of your comfort zone. Skip in Texas leads us off. Hi, Skip. What's on your mind today?
Hey, congratulations on your call for Kevin Durant. I give you credit. You said he had to be LeBron. I thought he was last night.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was wonderful. What else you have?
Yeah. Well, as far as Harden goes, I have to go a little McCaten on Reggie Miller yesterday. I thought the only reason he was in that game was just to create offensive fouls, and it was easy to call. I think any referee could have called that, all of them offensive fouls, and on the other end, he looks like a Euro 2020 soccer player flopping the other way. He just had nothing.
No, I didn't think so, but once again, and thanks for the phone call, Skip, I like that he wanted to be out there. Whatever I can do, and I thought he was a detriment, but I think Steve Nash was thinking, let's just keep him out there. Maybe he's going to hit a couple of big shots, which he didn't. He looked lost, but Milwaukee didn't take advantage of him. But look, I want athletes to go out there and play. If they can play as long as they can, as hard as they can play. But, you know, this, I've mentioned it the last couple of days. This is attrition. Like, can you stay healthy? Who's going to stay healthy? And I said the healthiest team's going to win the NBA championship this year, it feels like. Anthony in South Dakota. Hey, Anthony, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to share my excitement about the Phoenix Suns. On January 2nd, they actually put in a $100 bet at the casino, and I got 40-1 odds. So I was a little bit ahead of the curve. I've been watching the Suns since, you know, the mid-90s when I was 7 years old, and just to see where they are now, it's just super exciting. And all the bad luck they had when, you know, they had refs betting against them, and Steve Nash gets elbowed out of bounds, and then he gets a bloody nose, and even Joe Johnson breaking his eye socket. I mean, it's just been so much stuff, and Chris Paul is a revelation. I just found out that he's in protocol. I really hope he comes back, because he has just been it's just fun being a Suns fan right now. It's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthony, and good luck with your bet. Yeah, Chris Paul might miss the first two games of the Western Conference Finals. But I shouldn't speculate. I'm just going by what is being reported by ESPN that Chris Paul is out in concussion or a COVID protocol, and how many games could he miss? I don't know. Hopefully he's okay. Like, this isn't a bigger picture here. But man, these playoffs are going to be known for all the injuries. When we look back, we're going to go, God, that was the playoffs that everybody got hurt. Jazz are waiting to get Mike Conley back. But you got Embiid, who's playing on, you know, what he's going to require surgery on that knee to clean out the meniscus. We saw that with the Lakers. Now you got Kawhi out, Trae Young. Chris Paul had a shoulder injury before. I mean, it's almost like 15 players who have been nicked up. Yeah, McLovin.
I think Donovan Mitchell has a knee, too.
Yeah.
He's two of them, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And one's healthy and one might not be healthy.
And this is a hot take. The Bucks missed DiVincenzo more than I think people know. He was hot at the end of last year. No? I got to tell you, Kevin Durant's eyes got big when Connaughton was on the court. They're like, oh, I'm going to exploit this guy. And DiVincenzo is really good.
Yeah, Connaughton is a great athlete. You know, he's a former baseball player and a dunker. I mean, he's a great athlete. But how about a couple of guys, a couple of different guys? How about two guys guard Kevin Durant? Why don't we try it? Just see how that goes. Don't let him get into a rhythm. Good God. Let me take a break. Play of the day's next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Harden holds. Holiday all over him. Finds Durant. Working right. Put up three. Good! OKD! Nets by four!
That's courtesy of WFAN, the Nets Radio Network. Kevin Durant, that late game three, shot clock winding down, 49 points, second most in a playoff triple-double in NBA history, trailing only Russell Westbrook in 2017. Russ put up 51. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive Boost, the boost and burn supplement that can help shed pounds, build muscle. Go to mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Got our poll question, right, McLovin?
We do. Who do you blame for the Bucks' loss? Coach okay. Budenholzer. Now, Paulie has a strong candidate for an hour two poll here.
Okay. All right, Paulie.
You know, I like to call Kevin Durant just Kevin because there's not very many famous Kevins in the NBA. Mm. Who is the most famous person in our country named Kevin all time? Kevin, now, not just now, but all time. Okay. Kevin Durant, Kevin Hart, comedian, Kevin Bacon, Kevin Costner, other. Mm. Kevin from The Office, not allowed okay. because it's a fictional character. Okay. All time. Peak fame. No offense.
Kevin. So the most famous person named Kevin right now?
No, all time. Like when they were at their peak of fame.
Mm. That's kind of hard to quantify there.
I'm going to go with Kevin Costner because in the 80s and 90s, he was a world famous actor. Mm. I know Kevin Durant's a world famous basketball player.
If he's listening, by the way, he's not going to like Paulie's line.
Yeah,
right
I know.
There.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Whatever you say about Costner, because he always interprets it as a negative, Paulie.
The 80s or 90s and not now,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still very famous. He's got a very successful show. He may have the longest run of any Kevin of all time.
Mm. Yeah, well, Kevin Durant's famous around the world. I don't know how many people in China remember Field of Dreams.
Oh, it crushed there.
No, I don't think so.
They loved him in The Untouchable. Hey,
yeah, China lives with Field of Dreams. Nothing in reality, but they got Field of Dreams. Yes, Seton.
When you Google just the name Kevin,
yeah,
Kevin Hart is the first one that shows up.
Well, that's because he's big now. And yeah. Paulie's saying in their prime, Kevin Hart would probably be my choice there, I'm guessing. I never thought I'd be answering this question today, but now that it's posed to me, I would say Kevin Hart. Yes,
Kevin James.
Kevin, ooh. There's a couple NBA Kevins. Kevin Garnett, Kevin Love. Not now.
No, they're not. They don't approach Kevin Durant.
Mikhail.
Kevin Garnett. I would say Kevin Garnett approaches him. He's not there, but all time now? KG?
Yeah.
But Paul's right. You don't say Kevin pulls up for the jumper.
Let's kick it out to Kevin for three. But like, it's, like LeBron is only called by his first name. Yeah. No one ever says, Marv Albert says James, but usually it's like LeBron from the corner, Kobe from the corner. It was never Bryant. It's always first name with some people.
And Kevin is Kevin Durant.
You have to either go KD or Durant when you refer to him in a game.
Yeah.
No one ever says, oh, let's get down to Kevin on the blocks.
A couple of phone calls in here. John in Ohio. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I'm 5'10 and pretty soft post-quarantine, 180.
All right.
But, Dan, a couple things. I want to kind of encourage you to stay in your lane. I'm not really sure a scoring guard like yourself should be breaking down defense on Kevin Durant.
Well, no offense. I knew what defenses couldn't do against me and you know that they didn't take the ball out of my hands, John. I was the Kevin Durant of Mason, Ohio, just letting you know.
Of course, my bad. The other thing is I didn't even know there was a thing called the Sports Emmy until you guys were the Buffalo Bills of the Sports Emmy.
Wow.
And what I'm saying is you are making them relevant by not winning. So they're never going to let you win. You might want to just kind of back off that a little bit because no one cared about that until you guys were around.
All right. Well, thank you, John. That's great advice there. I keep saying it's bad for our brand if we win, and Seton disagrees. He wants to at least experience it to find out if it is bad for
our brand.
Let's
just see how much our brand suffers. Let's just see.
Yeah. Yeah. Dakota in Indiana. Hey, Dakota.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. 6 foot, 180. Thank you. Been waiting a long time to hear that. I follow along with the show on the podcast because I generally work second shift. So I, you know, just catch up with you guys. About a week behind, just found out this morning that we didn't win the Sports Emmy. So, like, I'm crushed. That sucks. But other than that, like, I mean, we don't need that. We don't need to be told that we're the best show. That's just, like, that's just extra fodder. But all anyway.
Right. Thank you, Dakota.
For everything.
Yeah, Seton.
Spoiler alert for Dakota. The Lakers got knocked out of the playoffs. Mm. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a week behind there. Yikes. Come on, Dakota. Time to play catch up. I have a great book suggestion for you coming up next hour. Great. Book club, DP Show Book Club. This on the heels of Wright Thompson yesterday with Pappyland. Great book. One more item, first hour. We close it out with Simply Safe Home Security, award-winning security system. In fact, U.S. News and World Report said it's the best home security system of 2020. You got technology, you got everything, bells and whistles, whatever you need. They take it to the next level. And there's somebody there if something goes wrong. Simply Safe, it's easy. SimplySafeDan.com. You can customize your system there, whether it's a fire, burglary, medical emergency, a pipe that burst, even a problem while you're setting up the system. Simply Safe has a person with the expertise there to help you 24/7. And when you know there's always someone there to help, it's a great feeling that you don't get stuck with any old security system. Learn more about Simply Safe and how it can protect you and your family. Visit SimplySafeDan.com today. Customize that system. Get a free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. SimplySafeDan.com.